thank you for tuning in to another episode of Shypedia Podcast. I'm your host, Marsha Lyles. In Chicago, what's going on? It's almost that time of year again. And if you're anything like me, you look forward to summertime shy because it's nothing quite like it. Well, you got the beaches, you have the day parties, you have all the different festivals to attend. However, we all know the downside that comes along with the rise in the temperature. There's also a rise in the shootings every year that leaves the community begging for a solution. And what will it take, Chicago? I recently sat down with the Emmy-winning television producer and director, Brian Schildorf, and a well-known community activist and executive producer, Africa Porter, both recently collaborated on a film, Chicago at the Crossroads. This is a documentary that gives us the backstory about Chicago's poverty-stricken communities that's plagued by gun violence. This episode is being sponsored by the 5th Annual Bantu Festival, Bringing Cultures Together. The festival takes place July 27th and 28th from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at the Midway Plaisance in Hyde Park. They'll feature art, dance, vendors, a children's village, and live performances by artists such as Selena Johnson, jazz singer D. Alexander, Aleph Beats, Amina Love, Limitless Sounds, a Haitian band Deluxe, and Team B.A.D. Bad from Belize. There'll be food from over 30 different countries. You can find out more information at www.bantufestival.com. Chicago at the Crossroads is definitely a documentary that we all need to check out because we all need a reality check. And this right here, I think, is going to reach you to the core. And it's going to reach a lot of people. And I hope that it touches each and every one of us in a way to where it will help us be a part of the change that is needed while we're sitting here at the crossroads.
Fired at the police. So everybody going.
I got shot right here. The funeral home is making a killer right now.
Homicide is related to the desperation of young men. That's what we're seeing in Chicago.
I know you're here. It's designed for you to lose. You're gonna lose. Let's keep this real now. This is about design.
This project represents the future of a great city.
We were concentrated in the ghetto. We were trapped and could not grow.
That's not a recipe for success. That's a blueprint for disaster.
Projects coming down shattered the gang structure. Gone.
All hell broke loose.
Six homies and son. You're a gang now.
We're at war, period.
This is not only my son, this is my best friend. He was murdered.
You're gonna go mad. You're gonna wanna kill the world.
These kids don't really wanna live that life that they live.
It's time to this new chapter. We gotta write it.
Either you get involved or it'll come to your door and make you get involved.
Chicago's at a crossroads.
It's that pot that's boiling, stuff to start spilling out, or we could turn the fire.
We're here to talk about this film that you are going to be showcasing for the first time at the American Black Film Festival in Miami. So congratulations
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is the 23rd annual film festival for the ABFF. And this is huge. This is like, I think, the fourth ranked film festival ranked by U.S. Weekly or something.
Yeah. So it's a good one.
Yeah.
And it's good for this film to have that premiere at ABFF because ABFF represents a lot of the topics that that are in the film. And, you know, when we're talking about race issues in America today, very important topic to discuss, and we're really excited about the premiere.
Okay. All right. So how did this project come together?
Well, it really goes back about 15 years. I had began looking into the final days of Chicago high-rise public housing because you look at these buildings in the last few days, and they really were a monument to modern public policy gone wrong. And we started the process at that point in time. And as the years went by, we decided to pick the project back up and revisit it to see where the citizens went in public housing and to look at the environmental factors in these neighborhoods, which the biggest headlines are what? Violence.
Okay.
We wanted to give people the backstory on how this city, the modern American metropolis, was created and what goes into violence. You know, that's such a just a word people throw out there, but don't really understand the meaning of it. So when we look at violence, we look at what's the main issue for us? Housing. Because your housing determines everything in your life, from where you go to school, where you work, where you eat, where your grocery store is, and what type of stress and violence you're exposed to. Very important things to realize, and not just talking about violence as a hot term, hot word.
Okay, you guys pretty much start from the beginning. And then what's cool about this is that you're not only just giving us the history of what happened, but you're helping us with the resolution.
This Absolutely.
Well, Africa goes way back as far as community activism. Her father, rest in peace, Reverend Porter, you know, helped bring Martin Luther King here. So this is really in her wheelhouse. So I'll let you kind of talk about that.
Wow, yes. Africa Porter, she was the executive producer of this project, and she is a community activist here, a known community activist. Please elaborate.
Thank you for having me. And, you know, I came on board. Brian reached out to me to be a part of the project. Thank you for that. I'm very grateful to be a part of it. I come from a very active civically and socially conscious family. So my parents, my dad recently transitioned. He was Dr. King's first SCLC chapter president for Chicago.
Wow.
So he actually brought Dr. King to Reverend Jackson, to Dorothy Tillman, to the black community.
Wow.
And in doing so, he was able to also teach me, the youngest of six, I have older siblings, about community and community development. So I started activism at a very young age, working with the Harry Washington campaign as a little girl, going with my dad to meetings. And I just found my niche in terms of going away to college and going into film studies and creating our own narratives, telling our own story. So this was very important to me to be a part of as well, because it's a lot of the work that I've been doing the last 20 plus years.
Yes. And so just a little bit of history about your family. Your dad was a part of the Great Migration.
Absolutely.
Was it his mom and dad, or how did, what's the history with that?
So my dad and my mom met in Kansas City by way of Arkansas and Mississippi. And so my dad was in the Army, and he got a telegram. You know, we don't know what that is today because we have email, but he got a telegram from Dr. King while he was in the Army, telling him he needed him to come and do some work in Chicago. And so he was in Kansas, and he came and brought my mom, and they started their family in Chicago. When they first got to Chicago, they were in Evanston, and my dad was a pastor, Christ United Methodist Church in Englewood. So he developed that community there, of which we think Englewood is off the chain now. You know, so you're thinking 70s and 80s when it wasn't as it is now, as developed. So he put a lot of work in. They called him the Moose of Englewood because he put a lot of work in there. He actually had Malcolm X there. And Sapphire kind of actually used his church as a meeting place for his believers before they got the mosque on 73rd and Stony Island. So for me growing up, I was exposed to a lot. So when I got to college, I actually joined the Nation of Islam because I was exposed to it so early and so young, and I was just so in it that I was like, oh no, this is for me. You know, I need to see black people do well. I need to see us come together, and this is the organization I'm going to join full force. So I think it's great, the duality that Brian and I bring, Brian being white, me being a black woman, what we bring together in terms of Chicago at the crossroads is a very important
right.
story.
And you remind me of when you said the Pullman Porters
Absolutely.
Who went down to recruit people to come to Chicago
Absolutely.
to work. And, you know, like, you know, you mentioned Englewood. Englewood was a thriving community.
That's
back
right.
of the yards.
Yeah. That's right.
The this old stockyard. So
That's
you said
right.
you could find work here. You know, and there was hope. But unfortunately, when people got here, African Americans migrated from the South, it's not exactly what they found. We have footage from, you know, the late 60s when they were raising the slums on the South Side. And it wasn't the Mecca that they had hoped for.
A picture, yeah.
No, it wasn't exactly that. They were racially restricted to live on the South Side. And you look at that State Street corridor. I mean, this is something that's just fascinating, that if you look at the old picture, you had, starting on Cermak, 22nd Street, you had the Dearborn Homes, you had the Ickes, Harold Ickes, you had the Hilliard Homes, you had Robert Taylor Homes. Now, by 1994, the Robert Taylor Complex was the number one poorest community in the United States. And that census tract, because you got to remember, these projects made up a whole census tract. Mm-hmm. And we could talk about why they were built, going back to raising the slums. And people did need housing, you know, in the 50s and 60s and 70s. So it wasn't all ingrained in racist principles to segregate people, but it did that, and that's really what it, the purpose of those high-rise projects.
So do you think that with this great migration, it was almost designed for disaster? You know, when they came here, it was kind of, you know.
Well, this is what people need to realize about the violence in Chicago. This is very important. This city was built from its very foundation for this. Then this is the result, like a, you know, in a scientist in a lab created these environments, and we need to understand that, because most people, but let's be honest, on the north side, they don't go to the south side,
right?
Ever.
Really?
Ever?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, they're not. You're not going past McCormick Place.
No.
If you want to go to the auto show, right?
Yeah.
West side, what? United Center. Go to go to a Blackhawks game. But in general, people, and all that leads me to why we made this film. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's an important story to tell.
Yeah.
Secondly, as citizens of a city, I feel that you have a responsibility for that city, for the greater good of the people who live there. So if we go about violence with a benign neglect mentality, meaning ignoring it, expecting something to change, right?
Yes.
And that's how we approach many of these communities.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, Memorial Day weekend just passed.
Yeah.
And it looked like we had 43 shootings that occurred, 7 fatal. And our newly elected mayor, Lori Lightfoot.
Bring on the light.
Bring on the light. You know, she's been receiving a lot of backlash.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of fingers has been pointed to her as though, you know,
she created it.
She created this mess.
So soon. She wanted the job.
But that's why this documentary is so important, so that we can get to the root of all of this.
Absolutely. And I believe one of the main hashtags, you know, social media has an interesting way of showing you what you put out the most. So I got a message from Facebook recently. And it said, you've hashtagged "We Are Our Own Solution" over 4 million times. And I didn't know that. But that is my main hashtag. And I do believe that. And I believe that Chicago at the Crossroads is a part of the solution. I think it's going to gain more attention towards an issue that the elephant is in the room. We see it. We don't always discuss it. We don't always have the answer. But I think a lot of the people would be very, very surprised and happy to see the contributors to the film, those that are speaking from their expertise and their background in Chicago, having been here for so many years, you know. I don't want to spoil it, but
yeah.
It's a lot of great people.
I know. I was like, okay, I want so many spoilers.
Let's touch on that for a second. So let's go over a few basic stats, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the last 60 years in Chicago, there have been 39,000 murders. That is, on average, 650 murders per year.
Mm-hmm.
In 2004, was the first year in 24 years that the murders were under 500, okay? So when we look at that, you know, and we had a mayor who was in an Irish gang, we're the home of Al Capone.
Yeah.
What do we expect? And we asked this in the film, is this really who we are? Now, New York got its murder rate under control. And so did Los Angeles. So how do we take those examples and put them into practice so we can do the same thing? You saw it, 43 murdered or 43 shootings last weekend with 7 killed.
Yes.
Okay. And it was raining.
Yeah.
It was raining.
And usually we blame the weather.
Right. It wasn't so hot.
So you're going to look at, and so Monday it rained all day.
Mm-hmm.
So if the weather would have been nice outside, you're looking at probably 60 to 70 shootings. And of those shootings, 80% of them are in 12 communities.
Mm-hmm.
So what communities are we talking about? Back of the Yards, Inglewood,
Roseland,
some of South Shore, and West Garfield Park, West Humboldt Park.
Mm-hmm.
So in those communities, when we talk about murder rate, yes, Chicago's murder rate is actually per capita not even the top 20. It leads the nation in number of murders. But the reason that per capita-wise it's not in the top 20, you know, compared to Detroit, Milwaukee, Baltimore, some of these cities, Philadelphia, is because in those 12 communities, the murder rate is higher than third world countries. Now you look at Mexico City, for example. Yeah, it had over 2,000 murders last year. Mm-hmm. Okay, mainly gang murders, and that's what we see too. Mm-hmm. A lot of fragmented cliques going at it. Mm-hmm. But it's only those communities, and it's not that many guys. A couple years ago, what they say, 1,500 guys are really causing all the drama.
All the problems, yeah.
1,500.
1,500 guys are really causing the problem. So what do you do? Well, it starts at the grassroots level, and it takes money.
Yeah.
It takes money. Now, investing in the Central Business District is fine. And investing in McCormick Place is fine mm-hmm. to get shows in, even yeah. though McCormick Place does actually lose money. But when we talk about economic investment into the downtown Central Business District, and that trickle-down economic theory just doesn't work. It doesn't get to the communities.
No, it doesn't.
Because that only helps that designated area. Mm-hmm. So that money does not see Inglewood, it doesn't see Roseland, it doesn't see Chatham, it doesn't see South Shore, of which South Shore is rolling in numbers increasingly in terms of the violence.
Your dollar in these neighborhoods leaves in 30 minutes. It goes to Wicker Park, it goes to Old Town, it goes downtown, because there's nothing there.
Wow.
There are no stores, there's no restaurants. Where are you going to eat on the West Side? All of the food is junk, mm-hmm. you know, because people think, well, I can't open a restaurant here. Well, the insurance is going to be too high. Mm-hmm. We're going to get shot up. There are kids on the corner, mm-hmm. open-air drug markets. And that is one of the problems with the West Side. We don't see it as much as the South Side, but these open-air drug markets have been fueling the West Side for decades. You know, you have the heroin highway going right down it. These boys don't have any other opportunity. They're 15 years old, 16 years old.
And this is all they know.
Well, it's all they know. And let me paint a picture for you. Boy's 15 years old. Mm-hmm. Dad's in jail, in and out. Mom's doing the best she can. Maybe she's working. Maybe she might have some substance abuse issues. He's on the corner, and he gets arrested. Now, once he gets arrested, he's going to go to the juvenile detention center on California 26th Street.
Now he's in a system.
Now he's in the system, okay? Now, there's an 80% chance that he's going to return to prison mm-hmm. within 5 years of that first arrest after he's in the criminal justice system.
And that's because the prison industrial complex does not rehabilitate. Go ahead.
Absolutely not.
So now he's an adult.
So now he's in jail. Okay. He gets out, and, you know, after a year of no rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. He has substance abuse problems. Somebody's trying to kill him, you know, for that, you know, little pack of whatever drugs he was selling that he didn't get back to him. So now somebody's trying to kill him. The lights are off. What's he going to do? He can't go back to selling drugs because now he's going to go for, you know, a few years. He's not going to get out until he's 25. And then he gets out when he's 25, and what is he going to do? It's just this cycle.
Yeah.
I only say that story because that's the story in the movie.
Yeah.
We have a young man mm-hmm. who we followed for 3 years, and his story embodies the struggle of a young black or brown man in our modern metropolises, Chicago as a case study.
Yeah.
He gets out of school. Well, he drops out of school. He goes to jail. He gets out. But here's the pivot that we have to look at. It's community development centers. So we need to get kids. Kids need high school diplomas. These young men, they have to get their high school diplomas. Bring in the Chicago Firehouse in North Lawndale, mm-hmm. Community Arts Center. They provide job training, culinary skills. They provide access to get their high school education. And the other thing is trauma counseling.
Yes.
You know, 1,200 cops on the street isn't going to do us any good because there's so much distrust in communities. It's been breeding and breeding and boiling for decades. So that's the other thing is they need high school diploma and they need access to a job. So, but it takes money.
Yeah.
These programs need to be funded. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Chicago Firehouse Lawndale Community Arts Center is doing. And they are a main partner of ours in the film.
And if we know this, then the masses of us know this.
Lori knows this.
So this isn't, you know.
The new mayor knows this.
Absolutely.
And she's going to be making investments. I am very hopeful for her.
Wow, yes.
And what she's going to do. And Emmanuel didn't get it.
No.
Well, we met last week, and she actually came over to Taylor Park, where we've been working with a young man that went to jail for 10 years for a crime he did not commit. And he came home, and he's been training, learning how to box, which was advised to him from some of the people around him that are part of his village. And he won his first fight last week, and Gary. So
What's his name?
His name is Samaje.
Okay.
Thomas.
Yeah.
And so we're very happy about that. And Lori actually came to meet him last week at Taylor Park on 47th and Federal, where he trains at.
Wow.
And we had a very good talk with her and one of my mentors, Brother Kublai Ture Muhammad. She was very receptive, you know what I mean? And just last weekend on Saturday, Devo Entertainment had a big Peace Festival, Unity Day, on the west side. And then the firm had one on the south side at Diet School on 51st and King Drive. So together, it was about 1,000 people, you know, combined. And it was all peaceful, different DJs, different speakers speaking to the needs of who needs a job, who needs a resource, who needs counseling, who needs that, you know what I mean? So we're pulling together, you know, coming together, combining this collaborative effort here to be a part of the solution.
I always felt that you have to start with them really early.
Yes.
Try to get to them as early as you possibly can.
Absolutely.
And I always thought, too, that it was about exposure, you know,
yes.
when they're raised by, you know, a certain mother or father in and out of jail or into drugs and all of that, then that's all they know, and they can't guide them into the right direction. So, you know, that's why it takes a community to raise these kids. And once they got rid of a lot of the public housing, you know, there goes the great migration again.
Well, it was resegregation.
Uh-huh.
And what we've learned from Chicago is that you really can't restrict the movement of people. You can't put people in a box. And now that we have an affordable housing crisis in America, but in Chicago, we're about 200,000 affordable housing units short.
Yeah.
And people don't have anywhere to live. So that's the big question we ask in the film in the future. We don't have to offer every solution,
mm-hmm.
but where are people going to live? Everything is moving away from manufacturing. Even McDonald's has digital kiosks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
where are people going to live? If we're not investing in the housing stock, the kids aren't going to have anywhere to live.
That's right.
The plan for transformation is abysmally behind. We're talking going on a decade behind schedule.
Yeah.
If you go over to the State Street corridor, there's no development. They completely batched the whole plan, and they kept getting money from the federal government all the way up to 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what happens when you privatize and make this a for-profit venture with private developers. And I'm not saying, is it really government's job to house people? Well, maybe not. But we have to be able to offer affordable options. And
yes.
Section 8, you know, the housing choice vouchers, it was another experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Just like public housing was an experiment to deal with the problem, to push it aside, but it never got down to a real solution for people.
What year did this happen when they presented a lot of people with checks just to move away?
Mm-hmm. That's right. In 1995 was when Bill Clinton's Housing Authority came down here and went to Robert Taylor Holmes and said, enough is enough. We're sick of writing you a blank check. The city of Chicago and the U.S. government are the largest landlords in Chicago. Imagine that the city of Chicago is the largest landlord in the city. The city of Chicago doesn't know how to manage housing. It just doesn't. So is that the solution? Maybe not.
No. Well, as I've stated prior to the interview, I'm from Gary, Indiana. So we're right next door.
Yeah.
And so what I do see happening a lot is a lot of people are moving over to Gary, Indiana, or, you know.
We're getting an outward migration now. People are moving down south.
People are moving to Texas. They're moving to Ohio. Mm-hmm. They're getting out of here.
Yeah.
And this time it's not for jobs, because if you look at the state of our country, the reason why we have this guy in office is because when the jobs left here to non-union states in the South. We had the outward migration of manufacturing jobs. Now they kept going south. Now they're in Mexico. So these people down in these small towns, let's put it like that, are so unhappy that they wanted something else. And we saw it first in the 60s and 70s. And now it finally got to these towns. And what's next?
Mm-hmm.
What's next for people?
Yeah.
I mean, we obviously elected a maniac. Mm-hmm. I mean, it got to this point. It got all the way to this point that Donald Trump is the president of the United States because people don't have any jobs and they think they should be employed. And those are the people in the South. It's the truth.
Wow. Okay, we're loving this. Like I said before, I love documentaries. I love digging deeper and learning more.
Yeah.
You know, I love it and researching, and this is right up my alley.
Have you seen the film yet?
I have not. I'm waiting.
I'm
going to look at it on a big screen at the ABF. Yeah.
I'm like that too. I like to wait and see it.
Yeah I want to see it with everyone
else.
Okay.
We re-edited the film 3 times. Making a documentary is kind of like a puzzle, and you know, it's writing a book. It's any large endeavor that you take on, and it takes time. We've been full time on this project for about 4 years.
Okay.
But a lot of the filming has been taking place over about the last 15 years.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. Why did it take 15 years?
It was a process when they were tearing their projects down.
Yeah.
So you have all their footage and stuff in there.
We have all of the footage mm-hmm. of the final days of public housing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Cabrini Green. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was wild. Oh. It was wild. It's a fascinating topic.
Yeah.
When you think of the projects, I mean, Candyman was filmed there.
Yeah.
You know?
Was it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Candyman was filmed there, and Cabrini Green and Robert Taylor Holmes.
Wow.
Especially Cabrini Green is just a weird dichotomy because it's right between the Gold
Lincoln
Coast
Park.
Mm-hmm. And Lincoln Park.
Very interesting.
Right there. And a lot of, I mean, of course it was a land grab, but if you go over there, there's still nothing there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not like they rebuilt so much. It's not like they did anything with it. There's a Target.
Okay.
That's it.
But,
yeah.
But it's interesting you bring that up because I remember 1991 when I went away to college. I went to Bennett College for Women in Greensboro, North Carolina. And Candyman was a movie that was recent around that time. So people were just like, oh, my God, you're from Chicago? Oh, my God, do you know about Cabrini Green? So it's just bringing that back. Like,
that's what people say when you go out of town.
Yeah, when you go out of town.
Like, oh, wow. Like I was in a drive-through window one time somewhere in California last summer. And he's like, hey, where are you from? Chicago. And you get, oh.
Right.
Hey, I thought that was just Gary, Indiana. I get that all the time.
And
you know?
they say, are you okay? Is everything cool?
I've never seen anyone get shot before. I'm like,
Michael Jackson lived on Jackson Street.
You know, 2300 Jackson Street.
Right.
Come on, there are good things that
that's
come out
right.
of Gary, Indiana.
Yeah. That's
don't
right.
hold yeah. me to that stigma.
Right. So it took a long time to make the film.
Okay.
And we think we re-edited it about 3 mm-hmm. full times.
Okay.
Because if you're going to put something out,
you have to stay current.
Well, yeah, that too. And my motto is make your content, but make it good.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to put anything out that's just it flim flam. Plus, this is some heady topics we're talking
you're about.
Hey,
you're about to win an award for this.
We're going to take it home.
Yeah.
We're going to take it home. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Hello.
I love your enthusiasm.
And you're going to be, and you're going
to
be there.
I'll be there
I'm
to
so
witness
excited
it.
Excited about that. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. When we talk about this film, though, we're following a boy. I'm looking at the picture here.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about the 15-year-old boy.
Okay.
15 at the time when you started on it.
Well, that that was okay. more of. Hypothetical.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to get too much into.
I know.
Edwin. That's Edwin on the cover,
mm-hmm.
and you see him looking into the distance. And on one side is
you see the demolition.
Is the demolition mm-hmm. of housing, and the other side is similar to what we're looking at right now outside
yeah,
this
absolutely.
Window.
It's like a tale of two cities.
It is yeah. a tale of two cities.
Well, it's mm-hmm. a crossroad.
Absolutely.
Like, you know? Crossroad.
And
for
let's
a few
define
reasons.
Crossroad.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. crossroad. Is the city obviously is at a crossroad.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that. Which direction to take?
Yeah.
Which direction is right?
Yeah.
And secondly, Chicago seemingly just appears through the prairies, you know, positioned right there between a sea of cornfields and the Third Coast, mm-hmm. right? It's so American. And the saying, Chicago is the most American of American cities, goes back decades. And Rahm Emanuel did not coin that. Let me tell you that much right now. He just used it. and he didn't care. You know, Rahm Emanuel doesn't care about people. But so the city is at a crossroad, but we're also really the crossroad of the country mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, the pulse of America. Mm-hmm. And what we do may help determine, in a lot of ways, what the rest of the country does, and it has in the past.
It has, absolutely.
And it connected the country.
Yeah, you know, this film is so timely because we have a new mayor.
Yes.
You know, and this is, you know, once we get this out there for on the mainstream for everyone to yes. see, then it'll click. You know, that's all it takes is for a film, for someone, yeah. it's all visual. Once mm-hmm. we all see and get the bigger picture and have someone break it down to us, then, oh, okay, I see what you mean. You
I'd know? Love for her to see it. Yeah. Can you make that happen
trailer?
For us?
I hate to cheat, you know. How long is the film?
80 minutes.
Okay.
So it's not too long, just about right. Mm-hmm. It doesn't drag. You got to be careful with that in documentaries. You know?
Oh, I'm not worried about it dragging yeah. at all. That's not my concern. I know I'm going to love it.
It's an intense watch. I mean, it's not very lighthearted.
Mm-hmm. And so it was voiced by Malik.
Malik Youssef.
Malik Youssef's the narrator.
Mm-hmm.
Who okay. is Chicago.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All Girl Gardens
so
all day from the Hunnits, Wild Hunnits.
Malik did a great job. We're very appreciative that he jumped
great.
On it.
And Brian, you were one of the best to produce because you won an Emmy in the
yes.
past. For the Wayman Tisdale
yeah,
story.
That was my guy.
That was your guy.
Big Tiz, Wayman Tisdale.
Okay.
Yeah. If you like smooth jazz, gotta pick up some of his records, I guess, put it on the Spotify playlist.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know, and I hate to move so fast, but this isn't it. Is there gonna be something else coming up?
Well, with everything that we've said, let's get back to the point of the film,
mm-hmm.
and it is to encourage people to get involved for your city
mm-hmm.
and understand how it was created. So we are teaming up with the Firehouse Community Arts Center in Lawndale mm-hmm. to begin the Crossroad Media Project. And the Crossroad Media Project will take a cohort of 6 young men who are the most at risk to either be shot
yeah.
or exposed to crime. And they already have a whole program going on. So we are going to train them in media skills and shoot, write, produce, edit. And that is one way that yeah. this film is going to reach across the screen and try to basically practice what we're preaching right
mm-hmm.
now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there going to be tearjerkers?
In the film?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there are some goosebump moments.
Yeah.
I think when everybody's leaving the projects, when it's time, they basically got evicted. You know, time to go.
Everyone
time's up.
Go.
And
so you're getting a lot of those reactions.
Yes,
it was heartbreaking because when you see what was left behind,
yeah.
pictures.
It's like generations of families
generations
that have been
of families.
Here. This is what they know. This
yeah.
is home. You know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it's very difficult to maintain peace and tranquility in the midst of confusion, and that's what you saw at the end. The people had to leave what they knew because public housing was a social services rich area, community. Everything was in there.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to leave. You could buy socks. You could, you know, get your clothes. You could get your groceries there. It was delivered to you. You could go see the pharmacy. The school was there. So now the people are in these communities without those social services. And I'm not saying that the eradication of public housing is the reason why we had such an uptick in violence, because the numbers don't exactly show that
mm-hmm.
In the last 10 years. But it was the nail in the coffin to bring instability to communities in the city of Chicago that weren't ready for it.
Well, Chicago is at the crossroad.
And that's right.
We're Absolutely. At a point, you know, where we must make a crucial decision.
That's right.
This is a critical point, and this is a turning point, and this film is just important for us right now. And we're looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it at the ABFF. And then once it hits at the ABFF, then what? Where can everyone else catch it? Are we going to have a screening here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been accepted into the Southside Chicago Film Festival.
Okay.
And possibly the Black Harvest Film Festival and the Windy City Film Festival. So there are going to be a couple in Chicago throughout the summer.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to have a busy summer.
Yeah, it'll be nice. It'll be nice to kind of to get everybody out and get to see it. And then
and to have the conversations after you watch it with the solutions. So like, what are you doing in the community where you live? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
So we're hoping we can, you know, get it out to the masses this year.
Yeah, this summer, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Once again, we're looking forward to you winning this award, bringing home this prize from ABFF in Miami. That's June 15th. I'm not sure on the time, but you guys will, the screening will be on the 15th.
It's
going
to be at 1:30.
Yeah, at 1:30. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Friday at 1:30 p.m. So it's a good time slot. It's not on the first day of the festival. It's not, it's not on the last day.
It's a lot. It is a lot there.
Yeah.
It's
right
it's
after,
hard to keep up.
Right after lunch.
Yeah.
You know, right after lunch, so people can go and eat lunch and then come to the movie. We're very excited.
All right. So if you don't have your tickets, I don't know if it's still time, if it's possible to get tickets to the ABFF. Go to the ABFF.
Yeah, go to the
if
website.
Not this year, yeah. And then if not, be on the lookout. I'll be following you guys to see where this film will be showing, and I'll keep my listeners updated, and we'll keep put the word out.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
All right, Brian Sheldorf and Miss Africa Porter, thank you so much, and I wish you both much success in the future, and I'm looking out for this film and any other projects you have in the future.
Thank you so much for having us. Shy P.